Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. I'm your host. You're listening to It's Your Money, the podcast that's designed to do exactly what I had just shared, pull back the curtain. I'm going to kick it off today pretty quick, not do too much doidling. I have a lot of information I'd like to share. It's been a few weeks since I've been on here. Let's start with the market update as of July 22nd, 2015. Real quick, the intent of doing the market update is to give an overall view of how the global markets have done year to date. The intent is to give one a clear picture of what the global market returns are for the year, hoping that they are utilizing a structured and academic approach to investing whereby they're trying to capture global market returns. The science is very clear. Modern portfolio works. The concept of dissimilar price movement, diversification. You want to own umbrellas. You want to own suntan lotion. You never know which one's going to be hot or not. So you own them all. All the news that you would hear in any given day is nothing but noise. According to the academics, there is no social, political, or economic news today that's going to change the long-term picture of your portfolio focus and or strategy. Although it does create a lot of agita, as the Italians say, or discomfort, indigestion. But we focus on the positive, accentuate the positive. There's nothing we can do other than get market returns by understanding diversification, own equities, rebalance, and realize this is a long-term game. Market update, 7/22/15. I'm recording this on the 23rd, so let's start with the Russell 2500. This measures the performance of small to mid-cap companies in the U.S., predominantly growth companies. Year-to-date, 5.09%, although we've had a rocky week this week. But we're up year-to-date over 5% with U.S. small growth companies. When we go to the Russell 2000, that measures the performance of small to very small or micro growth companies. It's about 5.16% year to date. Here we are in the eighth month of the year. Russell 1000 value, this would be large cap value, not growth, but value companies. And year to date, that's 0.24%. So about a quarter of a percent large U.S. value year to date. Not too exciting. Let's go to the Russell 2000. That measures the small cap value, not large value, but small value. And that really is the only laggard year-to-date in the U.S. It looks like we are negative a third of a point, or 0.32%. And when we round out the U.S., we're going to use the S&P 500. That's the one most of you see on the nightly news, if you watch that, or what you see in the paper and so on. It's widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equities market. It's 500 predominantly U.S. large growth companies, and year-to-date, we are at 2.68%, 2.68%. So nothing to write home about, but predominantly positive in the U.S. year-to-date. Of course, we've gotten some returns and given some back along the way. Hopefully, you're rebalancing and using a structured approach. And let's take it to international, because international has been where a lot of the news has been lately, a lot of the craziness. In fact, I got an older note here. This is a couple weeks ago. Hong Kong, only 3.2% of the Chinese listed companies were traded freely. July 13th, the market turned around after government unleashed money to prop up the stocks. So 54% of the stocks hit daily trading limits, that's according to the Wall Street Journal. So there was some real issues with Asia last week. You know, it took a 6% dump, and it's gradually starting to eke back up. But internationally, we also have dealt with a little bit of Greece agita, so to speak. So we're having some problems here in the emerging markets year to date. It looks like the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index is a negative 2.6%. So internationally, the emerging markets are down year to date. However, the good news is the developed markets, about 3.33%, they are up. So between the two, it's up a little bit international. And of course, if we go on to the last indice, Morgan Stanley Capital International, Europe, Australia, Far East, this would be an index that measures equity market performance of developed markets, but excludes the U.S. and Canada. It's 5.5%. So overall, the market's up, ladies and gentlemen. It's and we're getting market returns. You know, they are what they are. You can't manufacture them. The market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up. One out of every 3 years is down historically. You never know what year is going to happen. All we know is we want to own equities. We want to diversify. We want to rebalance. And we want to realize you're going to be in the market the rest of your life. And more than likely, if you're blessed to have any type of inheritance to pass on, the people that you pass it to will probably have that money in the market the rest of their lives or until it might be utilized. So, you know, to think that you're not in for the long haul would be kind of short-sighted, respectfully. Let me go into a couple tidbits of news I wanted to share with you, things that I just kind of ran across and jumped out at me. Gold, of course, you know, we've been preaching against gold for an awful long time. We believe that if you own gold in a well-diversified portfolio, to own it by buying more of it would be to double down and then would skew the percentage that you would have. In a well-diversified portfolio, you're going to have every company and commodities and timber companies and farming and cattle and all mining and all the different things. So to buy gold has been, we believe, a henny-penny type of move. You know, gold goes down when the market goes up. When the market goes down, gold goes up. It's a hedge against inflation. That's all it's ever returned is inflation. And, of course, we're seeing it drop. The prices are 8 sessions down and hit a 5-year low just recently when it dropped below $1,100 an ounce. And the forecast doesn't look good for gold, but, of course, we don't believe in forecasts. So just a couple tidbits I found there that I thought was interesting, and it continues to slide, the gold thing. Amazon, what's up with all these tech companies? These tech companies, primarily in the area of media, are really starting to stand out. Amazon recently got some incredible earnings, 18%. I'm looking at some news at Comcast. Is focusing through their NBC Universal company on creating new media outlets for predominantly millennial-type age group. AT&T has proposed almost a $50 billion purchase of DirecTV, which is the largest satellite provider. It's interesting that we're seeing a lot of the media. That seems to be the frontier that a lot of the big money is chasing. Here's a little health tidbit I came across that I thought was interesting, that after nearly 30 years of developing and testing the world's first malaria vaccine called Mocurix, has gotten approval from European drug regulators. That was a surprise to me. I didn't know we didn't have a vaccine for malaria. Anyway, that kind of grabbed me. Something else that grabbed me was McDonald's. McDonald's is dropping right now, their stock. But I had a thought, and I don't know if this is valid or not, but being an entrepreneur and a businessman, entrepreneurs and business people will always figure a way to deal with any type of changes and regulatory issues. I mean, you know, their job is to make a profit for the shareholders. And I think it's interesting, I was sharing with my wife recently, I believe in the next 5 years, it may even happen sooner than that, there's going to be very, very few humans standing at counters moving forward, especially in the area of fast food and certain other types of services where a kiosk can be used. And I think all this talk of minimum wage and all the different things, you know, the boardrooms, they're going to find ways to work around some of those things because it affects their bottom line, obviously. So I was just curious what some of you might think about that, if you believe that it won't be too long before we start seeing a lot of kiosks out there rather than humans when you walk up to order a burger or a cup of coffee or whatever the case may be. In fact, it reminds me of the Jetsons, you know, that cartoon, the Jetsons. It probably won't be too long as they float that, and if that's successful, where you won't even see a human. You'll just walk in and there'll be a wall, you'll order, and out a hole will pop a burger or something like that. But, you know, times are changing. Times are changing, and that's one thing that is for sure, isn't it? I had an old well, he's not old, but a mentor of mine from years back, who used to make a point often. He said, you know, you're either growing or you're not. He always used a tomato plant as an analogy. Now, I'm not a horticulturist, so I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm told that that there's no quiescent stage. There's no stationary point when in the growth of a tomato plant. Either it's ripening or it's rottening. So it's either getting rotten because it's past ripe or it's on its way to ripe. It's always moving and changing. And I think this gentleman had a valid picture when he used to paint a picture to me and some other folks that he was mentoring that, hey, you know, life is like that. It's constantly evolving. You're either ripening or rottening. So he always had this famous saying, you know, don't get bitter, get better. And, you know, it's been rough the last couple of weeks looking at the market. We've seen a lot of news. And, of course, perception is reality. So the news does dictate that people make certain moves. They believe that it's defensive or prudent. Oftentimes, it works out to be just the opposite when it comes to the market, trying to chase the market. But, you know, hopefully you have some hooks to hang your financial plan on. You know, hopefully there's some stakes in the ground that aren't constantly moving based on the social, political, economic climate. And if you are in an investment scenario, by the way, where you feel like the story changes, where, you know, the landscape continues to move, it really shouldn't, other than the social, political, economic news, the basis and the foundation and the structure of your investment portfolio and plan should have stakes in the ground and be immovable, although the earth continues to move and we move as a whole. But the market is very clearly, theoretically, then empirically proven to perform a certain way, and it continues to hold up to that empirical understanding. And so nothing really changes about the market based on the news. It's just a lot of people, henny pennies and managers, chasing the news. And you think about this, and I'll close with this. You know, a lot of people look at the financial services industry and see a lot of very smart people, well-educated, articulate in some cases. And I've often wondered how so many smart people, and I'm part of the industry, how so many smart people can be wrong so often that they can possibly justify billions of shares of trading every single day. And that huge transactional profit center that really favors the industry as a whole and not the investor. It's unfortunate, but you know, I learned this when I was a young man. I come from a very poor background. I noticed that the folks in town that seemed to understand money a little bit more seemed to do a little bit better overall. So I don't know that you need to know everything, but you certainly do need to know the few right things. If you're ready to know the few right things and need a path, we can help provide that at Financial Abundance. If you'd like to learn more about investing, retirement planning, care planning, how you turn your income on, the tax liabilities involved, give our office a call or check out our website. With that being said, I hope we threw a nugget out there that it might have helped you today. I'm going to talk next week about Social Security in a way that I've not heard anyone share. And I'm pretty fervent about a stance and a stake in the ground that we've stuck as it relates to the counsel and advice that we give our clients on Social Security. And I'm going to unveil that in next week's show. I'll be back in the saddle and back on a regular schedule. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, President of Financial Abundance, pulling back the curtain on the financial industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. Hey, hope this finds you well. Have a most awesome day. Talk to you later.